I had a chance to speak with Kim Mitchell not long ago about his career and his upcoming concert, July 29th, at the LCLC in Bridgewater. You haven't been down to the Bridgewater area, down to the South Shore of Nova Scotia before, have you?
No, I have not. I don't think I've been to the south of Halifax.
I was going to say, I know you've played in the area quite a bit, in Halifax area and around there, but I don't think you've managed to make it down this way quite yet.
No, sadly, so it should be all right. It should be nice, man.
Well, we're looking forward to it, I will say that.
Have you been in broadcasting long?
Let me see. 42 years plus.
Oh, congratulations, man. That's great.
Yeah, I'm one of the few survivors that have managed to last what is almost an entire career now.
That's great, man. You have a nice voice. So.
Well, thank you. You do as well. I mean, you're in this business for a little while.
I was in it for 11 years on a classic rock station here in Toronto, yeah.
Now, how did you get started in music? I mean, I know you went through a bunch of bands when you were younger, but what was that big moment that made you want to be a musician?
I took interest in it when I saw Elvis Presley, but it wasn't the adoration from the audience that got me. It was just sort of the pulsating rock and roll. It was like this beautiful thing that did something inside me as a young kid. So, but it wasn't until, I'm going to say, my real career in music started at 17 when the band I was in a small town called Sarnia, Ontario, a border town at the mouth of Lake Huron, they said, we want to move to Toronto. And I'm like 17, I'm still in school. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll go. And that was a big moment. So we went and paid our dues. You know, we had a refrigerator. We all lived in a band house. The refrigerator was outside in the back because the landlord wouldn't fix the fridge. So that's how we kept food cold in the winter. And then when the springtime came, we had to break up because we couldn't keep food warm. As weird as that sounds, that is a true story. So. And then we had three convicts that just got out of jail living as our neighbors. But thankfully, they were okay with us jamming and stuff like that. So
yeah, okay. Couldn't complain too much, I suppose.
Well, it was just a strange time. You know, at 17, you've been protected by your family. Then you're thrown into this big city of Toronto with three people that just got out of jail living next door. And you're in a house that the landlord's like, no, I'm not getting a new fridge. You know, go get your own if you want. Just stuff like that. And so, yeah, it was a bit of shock, but, you know, that's rock and roll, and I went for it. So.
Now, Max Webster eventually came along, I guess.
Yep.
There were a few bands in there, I suppose, along the way.
Yeah, there was. There was, you know, the show band thing. I went on the road with a show band and ended up on a Greek island backing up a Greek Tom Jones. We didn't tell him he wasn't Tom Jones, but I mean, he was a lovely guy. He was a great singer, great entertainer. And here I was living in paradise. But I came back to Toronto to study guitar, private guitar lessons with a specific teacher in Toronto. And I needed to make $150 a week, so started a band and ended up calling it Max Webster.
Now, you wrote a lot of the songs for Max Webster, did you not? I mean, you wrote the music part.
Yes, I wrote the music and did a lot of editing on the lyrical end. Lovely, it was great. I had a lyricist who I was a huge fan of. He was a friend from Sarnia, and he didn't tell stories. There's different kinds of lyricists in my mind. It was more of an imagist. So he dealt with imagery more than he did stories. So I really liked that. But because he was a poet, he had no idea on how to rhythmically put stuff into music. So it was quite a bit of a song and dance for me to do that. And that's an underpaid job, I want to tell you. Especially when you're dealing with a poet where you go, hey, man, like, I need to add a word here. So, like, well, you can't do that. It's like, well, I have to, you know, like, rhythmically, I need to fit this into a certain rhythm in the line.
I need a couple of extra syllables in here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a bit of that going on. But it worked out. We ended up working quite well together for a very long time.
Now, you've generally worked with a lyricist on most of your music, haven't you?
Yes. Do you know why?
Oh, no.
Because a long time ago, I went to one of these bookstores and was looking at astrology, just a young guy, and I'm a musician. And in the book of astrology, I'm a Cancerian. And the first line was, Cancerians don't make good poets. So I went, hey, I'm okay with that. I like playing guitar, so I'll find someone to help me with the lyrics.
So all because you happened to pick up a book in a bookstore, you just have been working with lyricists all your life.
Well, I figure everything you read must be true. So,
good heavens, man, don't go near the internet.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I've learned my lesson.
Now, was it a big change moving from Max Webster to just a solo career? I mean, the music didn't change a whole lot.
Well, I think it changed quite a bit, actually. Two reasons for that. I had a songwriting lesson from Rick Emmett of Triumph. Rick sat me down one day because we were talking about Max Webster. He says, do you know what a chorus is? Do you know what this is? And he taught me about the formatics of songwriting. So that was a huge lesson. As far as my solo career, I was just burned out on the road with Max Webster. And when I came off the road, I just started to write music, grabbed an apartment in Toronto. And I was waiting for the phone to ring, like, someone to go, hey man, do you want to play guitar in our band? Do you want to, you know, like Honeymoon Suite or what are these bands? And the phone never rang. I thought, wow, I guess I'm that weird. And so I thought, well, I'll start my own thing, I guess. But there was no intention to start a solo career when I left Max Webster.
So again, it was a matter that you had to pay the rent somehow.
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, eventually, I mean, I took about a year off writing because I saved up a bunch of money. So, well, not a bunch of money, but enough money to pay the rent for a year and to feed myself. And I had no pets or, you know, people that I needed to look after. So, yeah, I did that. And then I was like, well, I guess nobody wants me to join their band, because I thought that would have been the easiest thing. I don't need to write music anymore. Or, I mean, I don't need to have the pressure of the band being, you know, my responsibility. I'm the guitar player. I can bring you some songs if you want, and that's it. And that never happened, so I started my solo career.
Well, it kind of worked out for you.
It worked out better than Max Webster, actually. Although, at this stage of the game, around Ontario, most people still are talk about, hey, man, when are you getting Max Webster back together? I don't mean to compare myself to Robert Plant in any way, but I'm sure he gets sick of people asking about Led Zeppelin, and he's just moved on. It's just a beautiful thing watching Robert Plant go. When somebody said, hey, man, I think the last time they said, are you going to get, how about one more Led Zeppelin tour? He says, Led Zeppelin tour. He says, in a couple more years, I'm going to have trouble getting across the street by myself, let alone, you know, touring. So,
and he has indeed moved on to other things and done very well with it. Now, I mean, you put out an album just a couple of years ago. I mean,
yep.
And are you not planning on giving up anytime soon?
Well, I hadn't planned on doing that record. It was a producer in Los Angeles who happened to be in my band at 17. Named Greg Wells, who went on to Los Angeles and now is a Grammy Award-winning record producer and engineer. And he paid a visit to some friends in Canada here. And on his way back, we got together and just went for a walk. He said, hey, man, you know, let's go for a walk. I haven't seen you in a long time. So we walked around my neighborhood for a good hour. And at the end of it, I gave him a USB key of shame. I had some songs written, and I just said, Greg, I know you're a busy guy. You're hugely busy, so... But if you give me feedback on one of these songs, great. If you don't, no worries, man. It was awesome seeing you. And he called 2 weeks later and went, I love every song on here, man. I think this is a side of you that you do really well. It's more of the Easy to Tames and All We Are. It's not I Am a Wild Party and all that stuff, rock and roll duty. It's more atmospheric stuff. And he just said, you do this really well, man. Your fans should hear this. So come on down to Los Angeles and let's record. I'm like, great. I don't have anywhere near the money to afford you. He goes, don't worry about it, man. I'll be the insecure Canadian and let's just make a record that we both love.
Now you're going to be playing down here at the end of the month. Are you going to be playing? You're going to be playing some of that new stuff and as well as some of the old stuff, I guess.
Well, okay. So I'm all about customer service and rock and roll. So I like to play what people want to hear. I am slipping one of the songs in from the new record, and it seems to be going over really well. So, you know, the barometer for me as a musician is it's not about me. It's about you. You're the audience that's coming to see us. What do you want to hear? So, but they seem to be digging the tune, so I'm keeping it in.
Well, that's
good. You know what I mean? Like if it was bombing and people were going for a beer and going, okay, I'd just pull it out. Just go, hey, no big deal.
So whatever's making the people happy, that's what you're going to do for them these days.
Well, as I call it, customer service in rock and roll.
Now, is there one song for you that you have written that really stands out, that you really like? I know, picking the favorite child is not easy. But
it's not easy because they're all my kids, right? And they all have a story for me, how they were done, and a memory for me. But I mean, I dig All We Are because it was written. I'm a guitar player, and I didn't write it on the guitar. I wrote it on keyboard, and it's one of the few songs I wrote. Easy to Tame I like because it was, you know, I'm a rock musician, and it sort of had a bit of a country flavor to it. I also like some of the rock stuff, too. I like Rock and Roll Duty just because it was the quickest song I'd ever written in my life. The lyrics just came over pie, and I said, I've been working on this riff, man. And this was like 20 minutes before my dinner. I was married at the time. And so we went to the little studio that I had in the house, and I played him the riff, and he started writing out these lines. My rock and roll heart is always in him, and I'm like, wow, this is great. And we sang it, and literally, I'm going to say 6-7 minutes later, we came downstairs. I said, stay for dinner, man. And we stayed for dinner, and my wife at the time went, so what'd you guys do up there? I said, oh, we just wrote a song, and, you know, it's like, it happened like in less than 10 minutes. It was crazy.
Well, at least you weren't late for dinner.
No, I mean, yeah, I could smell it was really good. She used to make a lovely curry. It was like amazing. So I was like, wow, I'm getting hungry. Let's wrap this song up. I don't care if it does anything.
Get this thing written quick. Yeah, it's time to eat. On the other side of that, is there a song that someone else has written that you really wish you had been involved with somewhere?
Oh, my goodness. Like, so many. Like, and all different genres, too. Let me think. You really stumped me on this because there's just a flood of songs coming into my head. Like, from sort of the classic rock era, Boys of Summer, Don Henley. I love that. Just great vibey atmosphere to that tune. Rock stuff. Gee, pick a song by Van Halen and all of them. I'd pick like something like Pound Cake. I just thought that was When It's Love. How do I know when it's love? How do I know when it's love? I love the story because Eddie said that who I met a couple times, and he said that when he came into the control room to listen to the bad track of that after they did a take of it, he started to cry because he said it was like so close to what he heard in his head. He said it was just like, wow, it was an emotional track and it sounded beautiful. So, I could go on for hours, but I won't bore you.
Well, I don't think you'd bore us because it's been fun talking to you, and really nice of you to take a few minutes and pull over to the side of the highway there today and have a little chat with you. You're going to be playing on July 29th down here at the LCLC, and we're really looking forward to it, Kim. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes to have a chat with us today.
My pleasure. It was lovely speaking with you, and can't wait to see you. That's a Clearwater Arena. Is that what it's called?
It's the Lunenburg County Lifestyle Center at the Clearwater Arena, yes.
Okay, great. Well, we'll see you very soon.
Indeed. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.